T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Pony and Muller presented by Chafin Luhana, injury law firm, doing good by doing right. Today would have been a Labatt's game day, Penguins and Hurricanes at the Marriott, brought to you in part by Ken Ganley, Toyota in Pleasant Hills. On Mondays at 4, we talk to our 93.7 The Fan NHL analyst, NHL and NBC analyst, and he also always has a big role in the Summer Olympic Games for NBC and the family of NBC networks. Of course, I'm talking about Pierre McGuire. Pierre, we're getting all kinds of information about the Summer Olympics. Is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? What are you hearing right now?
Well, first of all, good afternoon to you, gentlemen, to all the listeners in the Pittsburgh area. Unfortunately, things are a little bit different now, obviously, with all of sport and in particular the National Hockey League. But last week we had a conference call, and everybody seemed that the Olympics were still very much in play. Received a letter today, and they said they would still keep us posted to anything that could transpire. So I'm hearing the same things you guys are from public outlets, but I have not heard that from the people that employ me at NBC.
And so, I mean, we all in this country right now are missing all of the sports that would normally be going on. It's slated to be, it was supposed to be opening week for Major League Baseball, which is a huge deal on the calendar. It's a sign of spring coming, everything else. The NBA, the NHL. Can you give a sense, though, as to the scope of the Olympics and what that means to people all over the world from having covered it?
Oh, my gosh. The Olympics are just an amazing event, and it's every single corner of the country, every single corner of the world that people are paying attention to every little thing that happens, whether it be track and field or single sculling or water polo, the event that I do, especially the U.S. women, they're just so darn good at it. They're the dream team of women's water polo, but everybody's paying attention to every little sport and big sport, and it's just phenomenal to be around. The Summer Olympics are massive. The Winter Olympics are big. The Summer Olympics are massive, and obviously it's a date on the calendar every 4 years that people are paying attention to.
Pierre, I would think part of the you can correct me if I'm wrong, but Canada's already pulled out, right? I mean that.
Yes. They
okay.
Have.
That part of this is, you know, individual athletes might be able to do some training on their own, but teams can't train right now together.
That's a great point, and it's very fair. I'll take you back to last week. I was in Boston last week, working with my son and some other players who are draft eligible for the summer's NHL draft.
Mm-hmm.
And we were working in a rink, and a player from the Boston Bruins, actually Brad Marchand, I'll tell you who it was, came up because he happened to be in the rink. And he goes, man, these kids are good. I said, yeah, well, they're all draft eligible for this year. There were only 5 or 6 of them on the ice. And he goes, I just can't believe that I'm not allowed to train. None of the Bruins were allowed to train at that point because their facility was closed down. And they didn't want them intermingling with other people, you know, that might be practicing at different rinks. So he was actually there with his children, watching them in a you know, getting ready for a hockey practice that they were going to have. Now, all that's been closed down. There are no rinks open in Massachusetts. There are no rinks open in Connecticut. I don't know what the state of the arena business is in Pennsylvania right now, but I can just tell you that by government decree, everything is closed in the two parts of New England that where I live, Boston and Connecticut. So, yeah, it's tough. It's not just for team sports. It's for individual sports. It's for athletes at the highest level.
Pierre, one of the things about the Olympics that I think has a lot of appeal for just about anybody that tunes in, and for some people I think it might be the primary appeal, is the human interest stories that go along with so many of the athletes that participate. Is there anybody that you've come across in your coverage of the Olympics whose backstory stuck out to you in particular?
What a good question. There's so many. I don't want to do a disservice to any one of them because they're just so darn many. But again, I've had the opportunity over the last two Summer Olympics, Rio and London, to do the women's water polo and men's water polo. But Maggie Steffens, to me, is just an amazing story. She's the preeminent female water polo player in the world. Her father's Cuban. I believe her mother's Californian. Phenomenal family, Stanford people. She graduated from Stanford 4 years ago. She's still playing. She's the, you know, just to put it into a perspective, she's the best female water polo player in the world. And she's highly cerebral. She loves hockey. She's an amazingly passionate athlete. And to watch her play is really phenomenal to me. And I respect her athleticism so much. So her backstory is amazingly well-educated, passionate about her sport, and she's really darn good at it.
Pierre McGuire, NHL and NBC, here with us on 93.7 The Fan. Gary Bettman talked last week, and one of the things that he said, Pierre, about resuming the season was he did not want to affect the 2020-21 season. And I wanted to ask you, because we were trying to interpret and read between the lines in that answer, does that... do you take that answer to mean he doesn't want to push up the start or push back the start of next season? Or do you think that means he wants to maintain the integrity of 82 games?
I don't know the answer to that. I heard the same thing that, you know, you gentlemen heard and most of the listeners have heard. I don't know, but I would tell you this. Today's a pretty significant day. I know that there was a big conference call with NHL owners in the league office, and I know tomorrow the general managers we'll be talking on a conference call with Commissioner Bettman and Deputy Commissioner Daly, and I'm sure Colin Campbell will be on the call as well. So they'll be talking about the state of the business. You know, it's interesting. It's about a $5 million a year business, $5 billion a year business. When Commissioner Bettman took over, it was a $500 million a year business. He's grown it exponentially over about 25 or 26 years that he's been the commissioner. It's really been an amazing run. And, you know, he's probably got a lot of different ideas of what he wants to do with the league going forward, especially because of what's transpired with the coronavirus. But I can't envision right now, based on everything that we're hearing in the state of the economy, I can't envision people knocking down the doors to go watch NHL hockey in July, if in fact that's when the league starts up. If we start up before then, I don't know. But there's a lot more pressing issues than NHL hockey right now in terms of how people are looking at trying to feed their families and take care of their businesses if they're small business owners.
Pierre, all of that having been said in complete agreement with you on that and being more pressing, if the NHL got to the point where they were given sort of the green light to go ahead and maybe contest a playoffs this year, just cut it right where it is right now, the eight teams in each conference get in, do you think it would be important in the league's mind to try to keep the sanctity of the playoff format, the seven-game series, that grinder, because of how much people love that aspect of the NHL?
Yeah, we're just in different times, so I don't want to, you know, say something that, you know, might jeopardize whatever the league's thinking. I have no idea what they're thinking, and I don't think it's appropriate for me to speculate on something that important. I really don't. I can tell you this. One of the things that separates the Stanley Cup from a lot of other championships is just how darn difficult it is to win. It's the 82. Now, I know we had a 48-game schedule once, but it's the 82-game schedule. It's the best of seven. It's four rounds. It's really amazingly difficult. It's one of the few sports where you see an eight seed have the capability of knocking off a one seed and eventually going on like the Los Angeles Kings did in 2012, go on to win the Stanley Cup. That doesn't happen in very many other sports. So that's the one thing. I don't think it's appropriate for me to comment on what the league should or shouldn't do. They know far better than I do when it comes to the financial part of the business and the emotional part of the business. All I know is this. I respect the people that make the decisions there, and they have amazing pressure that they're under right now. Amazing pressure.
I'll co-sign that one as well, Pierre, and let you go on this one. Going back to the Olympics, can you give a sense of just being around the games like you have been? Because this is something that from afar, I talked to you about the human interest part of it and right. The stories, how much it means to these athletes, because that's where I start to, and I know we're in different times, as you said, but how much it means to some people who maybe won't have the same chance next year for one reason or another, the idea of not being able to compete, and what emotionally the fact that they do get to compete for country and for their flag means to these people?
Well, I'll take part in the second part of the question first, because I do respect the question. I think it's a great one. Means so much to every single athlete. Most of them will never get a paycheck for competing. So the medal matters to them. The flag matters to them. Being part of the selection process and making a team matters to them. The extensive training they do over a four-year period, some of them over an eight-year period, is just unbelievable to watch. I've met so many people that were part of a U.S. Olympic team in 1980, but the boycott happened and they didn't go to the Summer Games in Russia that year. And, you know, for a lot of them, that was probably the highest moment they'd ever have, but they never got a chance to even walk in the opening ceremonies. And when you're around the Olympic Village in particular, the day of the opening ceremonies, it's phenomenal just to feel the enthusiasm and the energy there. And then when the Olympics come to a close, you know, whether they won or not, just the celebration that happens at the closing ceremonies and how people carry themselves at those closing ceremonies and how proud they are to wear their team uniforms and represent their country and their flag. It's really, it's an awe-inspiring thing to be around. You know, if we go this summer, that'll be my eighth Olympics, and it never gets old. I got to tell you guys, it never gets old.
Pierre, it is honestly great to talk to you every week. We're thrilled that you've been able to keep in touch with us. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again next Monday. Thank you.
I look forward to it. You guys are great. Thank you very much, and have a great and safe week, everybody. Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.